This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Went out and...
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I've known you a lot of years. 9/11 happened 9 months into your presidency. You were a wartime president. We were on a war footing the entire time you were there.
Right.
And I look back at the last two major conflicts in America. I look at Vietnam, we lost 58,000 people. We didn't finish the job, we left.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Iraq and Afghanistan, and here, all many of these people that you're drawing, they won Mosul, Ramadi,
yeah,
Tikrit, Fallujah, Baghdad, only to, like Vietnam, or similar in my mind to Vietnam, because I supported, I thought it was the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe it was. But it's not the right decision if Washington politicizes it,
right,
and then gives back that which they won.
Mm-hmm.
Does that frustrate you? Because that frustrates me.
Yeah. Yes, it frustrated me, and I think what people have got to realize is this bunch of thugs can be defeated, because we did so with the surge. And by the way, the president's new national security advisor was a part of that philosophy of how to win the hearts and minds of local populations, which is necessary for victory. And we can win again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've heard both presidents, after my time, say we're going to degrade and defeat ISIS. And I say, go get them, because they can be degraded and defeated. And it's very important, in my mind, that we do so that people know they can rely upon us. And the people, not only governments, but people on the ground, people who want to be free. And you ask some of these troops, you know, were you able to see human deprivation and improvement? They say yes. I mean, a lot of them say to me, I love the idea that girls being able to go to school for the first time in Afghanistan, or young kids in Iraq being no longer subjected to the thuggery of these ideological, you know, thugs.
You warned that if we pulled out precipitously,
yeah,
and too early, I played this on my shows many times.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you are 100% accurate.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
No.
Because, you know, we're it in terms of defeating ISIS or Al-Qaeda or whatever you want to call them. I mean, these are people that murder the innocent to advance a point of view, and it requires U.S. leadership to defeat them. And this exhibit honors those who heard the call and volunteered.
Yeah.
And were willing to be, willing to risk their lives to not only defend ourselves, but to advance liberty.
You know, it's good to hear from the former president. It's been a long time. Of course, he purposely stayed out of the fray when Barack Obama was the president. As you know, if he said anything, it was about his book. Very little in terms of making any sort of critical comment about the then president of the United States, Barack Obama. And now here he is. He's on the other side. History has a better viewpoint of what happened in Iraq to a degree, and he's able to speak forth and share his feelings. And there he is talking with Sean Hannity, about Iraq and about the future and what it's going to take. But he's confident, just as President Trump is confident, that they'll be able to handle ISIS and be more assertive in light of the, you know, the generals that Trump has surrounded himself with. So, I think he makes some good points. And I'm glad we were able to play the real George W. Bush, because coming up a little bit later on, we've got the impersonator George W. Bush. John Morgan's going to be with us. He's going to be talking about his book, War on Fear. Pretty fascinating. I mean, you know, what would you do if you didn't have to worry about being afraid? You know, what would that do and mean for your life? Boy, incredible. In fact, we saw a movie last night. We're also going to be talking to the producer And the writer of the movie called Mully. Boy, you talk about going beyond yourself. An incredible movie that we saw last night. And Bill Fetter, who's fighting the traffic, is going to be in here to talk about who is king in America.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Never gotta look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. It's Bill Martinez, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, coming to you live from Orlando, Florida, where we're here for Proclaim 17, the NRB International Christian Media Convention. And we have a host of guests live in the studio with us today. So great to have you along for the ride. Bill Fetter, we're on standby a little bit. I guess he got caught in traffic as he was coming over to this massive hotel here, the Marriott Hotel in Orlando, Florida. So he will be here in un momentito as we wait for him. You know, today, important day, Scott. You know, this is car keys and small change day. I'm not sure why those two go together. Maybe because that's what happens to be in your pocket at the time, I guess, right?
Okay. Yeah, I would. Yeah, that seems to make sense.
Yeah, I guess. International Pancake Day, why not? And, you know, we got that happening. And, of course, the Mardi Gras continue. And, got to include National Tooth Fairy Day. Why not, huh?
I think National Tooth Fairy Day is twice a year, actually.
Is it? Why?
I feel like that one, we get that one in August as well.
What's so special about National Tooth Fairy Day that they're deserving of 2 days?
I don't know.
This is a conspiracy. I think we got to look into this, man. I want a recount, you know?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
So what's happening in Minnesota? Weather, everything is it's all fine. It's all sunshine, blue skies. The holes in the ice are all patched up now.
Well, we were supposed to get hit with a big snowstorm, and we got nothing. So okay. There's that, and you know, I always joke with my friends that they can, you know, they're so confident in what they're gonna, you know, what's gonna happen 100 years from now, but they can't get tomorrow right. So you can't convince me that the technology is even close to being right. But yeah, so everything, weather's been nice, been 40 degrees.
Well, all good.
Which
well,
tells you what I think is nice. So.
Exactly. Well, hey, you know, there's a lot to be said about living a simple life, right?
Is it above freezing? Okay, I'm happy.
I'm a happy guy. I got a hole in the ice. I'm happy. I mean, it's just real simple stuff. I can go for that. I can go out and play hockey if I want. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, it's all good. Well, President Trump tonight's going to be giving his speech, talking before Congress. We'll see what the reception looks like, you know, kind of encouraging him. I think it's still quite interesting. Again, people are just so tied up in knots about this administration, and he's not even 5 weeks into his administration. Oh, he's not doing anything. And going, wait a minute, you know, it's... Again, it all goes back to your own worldview and your own perception of things. It's in the eyes of the beholder, and you can tell really quick where people are standing on how they respond to Trump. You know, people that really don't care for him. He's doing nothing, and you know, stole the election. It's those doggone Russians, you know. And you know, it's like,
are they actually going to show up this time?
Then that might happen too, where they just don't even show up, and you know, why should they represent their constituencies? But again, maybe their idea of representing their constituencies is to have placards and I hate Trump and don't take away my health care.
Nothing says I'm a grown up capable of leading people like going in my room to cry, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, definitely. It's a clear demonstration here. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how that comes about. And hey, Bill Federer is in the house. He just got here, and it's okay. And we're going to relax here a little. I know it's been crazy, and you get caught in the traffic here, and it's amazing. It's like everybody decides to go to Disney World at the same time, right?
Well, thanks for your patience, Bill, and the listeners. I am at a close hotel, but it's crossing Disney World to get here, and the traffic is, like, so slow. Mm-hmm. But it's great to be with you.
Hey, always good, especially when we have the opportunity to be face-to-face, because usually it's over telecom. But ladies and gentlemen, get ready for your history lesson, because Bill is here, and I was thinking, whenever I think about history, I always think of Bruce Kaufman, so that was why the reference. But Bill Federer, of course, another historian, and he always blesses us when he talks about the history of America, kings and despots, and of course, his book that he brought with today is Who is the King in America and Who are Counselors to the King, Bill?
Well, Bill, it's an overview of world history, mm-hmm. and the most common form of government is what? Well, it's kings, mm-hmm. right? So writing was invented around 3 or 4,000 B.C., mm-hmm. Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. And so from the beginning of writing till now, what do we read? Well, we see that there's pharaohs and Caesars and Kaisers and sultans and czars, and it's sort of like that Fibonacci sequence.
I want to say, oh my, though, after you say that.
But you ever see the Nautilus shell, the little spiral
yes,
it makes?
Right.
That's actually a geometric ratio. It's called the Fibonacci sequence, where everything sort of increases on a greater rate. And so you look at from the beginning of the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel and the Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, these kingdoms keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So Sargon of Akkadia conquers from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean. And then you have 2,000 years of pharaohs. And then you got 5,000 years of Chinese emperors. And then Cyrus of Persia, Alexander the Great, Roman emperors. They keep getting bigger. Mm-hmm. The Byzantine emperors, the Muslim sultans, and then Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan. And then you got the maritime empires, Portugal, Spain, France, but ultimately the king of England had the first globalist empire, right? He had all of India and Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, British Guyana, Kenya, Canada, and America. And when America's founders got the chance to break away from this globalist, they wanted to set up a government as far away from a king as possible. So they flipped it and made the people the king. So a republic is where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. Right? A democracy is the people are king, ruling directly. And that only ever works on a citywide level like Athens.
Right.
A republic allows you to take care of your family and farm, and you have someone in your place that goes to the market every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to understand the system in America is that the people are the king ruling through representatives. When we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic, you're pledging allegiance to you being in charge.
Right, exactly.
So when somebody dishonors the flag, what they're effectively saying is, I don't want to be the king anymore. I don't want to be in charge of my life. It's like, okay, somebody else will rule it.
Do you really realize what you're doing when you do that?
And of course, I think that the dilemma is human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the beginning of the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel, selfishness comes into the human DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you put some babies in a playpen, one of them will take the rattle from the others. You put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball.
Right.
Put some junior high girls in a clique, one of them's the diva.
Yes.
Put some people in the woods, one of them's an Indian chief. Put them in an inner city, one of them's the gang leader. So it's sort of the Lord of the Rings. Everyone wants this ring of power. It's a hierarchical system,
right,
where if you are friends with the king, you're more equal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason.
Right.
Or you're a slave.
Right.
And so when our founders in America wanted to do something other than a king, they looked through history for alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very few of them. We're familiar with the Roman Republic.
Right.
which went from about 500 B.C. to 27 B.C. until, Julius Caesar found a way to usurp power and make himself dictator for life. He raids the Temple of Saturn, the federal treasury, so to speak, and uses money to defeat his opponent, Pompey. And then we look all the way back to Athens.
It's almost like some things have never changed, have they?
It's right, and it changed. It continues to repeat itself, only on a growing larger scale. But Athens had a democracy from about 592 BC to around 332 BC, Alexander the Great,
right,
until Philip of Macedon.
Okay, I'm gonna hit the pause button right now because we've got about 10 seconds left, and you're going to get into something even further, and so it'll give us a chance to take pause and make sure you have a fresh sheet of paper because he will continue. Bill Fetter, I'm Bill Martinez Live.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
The country, on your smartphone, and around the world. You've tuned in to Bill Martinez. Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Coming to you live from Orlando, Florida, Proclaim 17, NRB's International Christian Media Convention. I hope you're taking notes. Our conversation with Bill Federer continues. We're talking about who is the king in America. We're recounting 6,000 years of history. And I've already got a note. What a Fibonacci sequence?
Right, so it's the irrational ratio of increasing, like on a Nautilus shell hurricane, tornado, or a galaxy, where it starts small and it gets bigger and bigger. So these kingdoms start with Nimrod, Tower of Babel, and then Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, and they keep getting bigger. Clearly, there's a global goal in mind.
Right.
By the time America's founders broke from the King of Britain, he literally was the most powerful king on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when our founders got the chance, they wanted to set up a government as far away from a king as possible, so they flipped it and made the people the king. The question is, where did they get this idea? A little bit from ancient Rome, a little bit from ancient Greece. Athens was a democracy from about 592 B.C. to Alexander the Great, right, around 332 B.C. And what happened was Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, found out that he could bribe citizens of Athens with money under the table, and they would betray their own city.
Oh,
and he was able to take over.
Mm-hmm.
But then America's founders ultimately looked back to ancient Israel. I think, really? Yeah. After the Renaissance and the Reformation, there was a Hebrew revival. All these scholars in Europe from like the 1550s to 1620s, they're studying the Hebrew Republic.
Mm-hmm.
John Higginson, John Selden, and then there's Hugo Grotius and John Locke, the names that people are familiar with. Excuse me. And so you see the U.S. Constitution is written. It needs to be ratified by 9 states. There were 8 states that had it. New Hampshire was in line to be the 9th. But it was in a deadlock at its ratifying convention. They have a day of fasting. Samuel Langdon, the president of Harvard, comes and addresses them. And the title of his address is...
This is the old Harvard we're talking about.
Correct.
Not the new Harvard. Correct. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
So 1788, Samuel Langdon, president of Harvard, gives an address, the Republic of the Israelites, an example to the American states. He says, instead of the 12 tribes of Israel, we may substitute the 13 colonies of the American Union. See this application. And so after his address... They vote and ratify it. They are the 9th state. The U.S. Constitution goes into effect. After this sermon, the Republic of the Israelites, an example.
Right.
What was the Republic of the Israelites? Well, about 1400 B.C., Israel comes out of Egypt, and they come into the Promised Land. And for those first 400 years, there is no king. Everyone is equal before the law. Mm-hmm. And the law says there is no respect of persons in judgment. Rich or poor, everyone is to be treated the same, male, female, made in the image of the Creator. This is revolutionary. This is the beginning of the concept of equality on planet Earth.
Right.
Because everywhere else is Caesars, pharaohs, kings, and sultans, and they rule. If you're friends with the king, you're more equal. You're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're not even the king, you're dead, or you're a slave. So Israel, everyone's equal. And then it gets even more interesting. Israel was the first nation with private land ownership. Because wherever there's a king, you never really own the
That's
land.
Right,
it's
right.
always conditional of you staying on the nice side of the king. In Israel, the land was permanently titled to the families. Israel is the first nation with no standing army. You have a king, he has an army to enforce his will. In Israel, every man was in the militia and armed and ready at a moment's notice to defend his family and his community.
Right.
And I could go on and on. Israel's system worked as long as the priests taught it. When the priests stopped teaching the law, it says every man did what was right in their own eyes. The rubber band snaps back, they get King Saul.
Right.
And so we see that it's a spectrum of power. One side is total government with a king. The other side is no government, anarchy.
Exactly.
And unless the people have internal morals, like everybody has a behavioral app on their phone.
Right,
like
right.
How do I act today?
Yeah,
what do I say?
Right.
And so the question is, why would you follow an internal moral?
Mm-hmm.
What would cause someone to restrain themselves from yielding to a selfish temptation? Well, ancient Israel introduced the necessary ingredient, a God who is watching everyone. He wants you to be fair, and he will hold you accountable in the future.
Exactly.
So you're about to steal, you know you can get away with it, and then you think, God is watching me. He wants me to be fair, he's going to hold me accountable. Maybe I should hesitate stealing.
Yeah.
And so it creates...
Not to mention that there were spelled out consequences for stealing in particular offenses, right? In the book of Leviticus.
Yeah, but it was this idea that God is watching
right.
you.
Exactly.
It's not policemen following every single person around all day and night. And if somebody opened their mouth unto the Lord to make a vow, they assumed God was there and God heard it, and they keep their vow.
Exactly.
Israel was the first nation with no police because everyone was taught the law. Everyone participated in enforcing it. It's like everybody was deputized.
Right.
And so the system of government without a king is dependent on the people having virtue, and they're motivated to follow this by this God of the Bible.
Right.
It only works with the God of the Bible. In Islamic, Allah God says there's an infidel woman there, you can rape her, it's okay.
Right.
Only the God of the Bible says do unto others
exactly
as you would have them do it
to you. When you talk about the moral pinnings of the Constitution and with Israel, you know, our president said, early president said, look, at this Constitution was designed for a moral people. So, but they left out in the design of it the connection with, like Israel had priests, what did America have?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. So I read through every charter of every colony, and the king is in charge of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company colony where the king approves the bylaws, like the Virginia Company. There's a proprietary colony where the king gives the whole thing to a friend, it's mm-hmm. property. And there's a royal crown colony where the king sends over a governor. But it's the king in charge. When the pilgrims got blown off course and they landed in Massachusetts, it's just a beach. There's nobody, no government to submit to. They're facing a dilemma because there's no king-appointed person on their boat.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to run it?
Right.
And so they decide to do something revolutionary. They give themselves the authority, and they write the Mayflower Compact. So this is the beginning of people forming a government and electing their leaders rather than the leader having an army forcing all the people to obey.
Exactly.
It's a switch.
So it's a bottom-up movement.
It's a polarity switch.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so it gets more interesting when you look at New England is founded by pastors and their churches. So the Puritans, they were persecuted in England. They come to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And when they get to Massachusetts, they enforce the Puritan faith. Right, they didn't like the government telling them what to do over in England, but now they're over here, they're telling them. And so you have a pastor, John Wheelwright, and his church flee, and they found Exeter, New Hampshire. There's a Roger Williams and his church flee, and they found Providence, Rhode Island, and the First Baptist Church in America. Thomas Hooker and his church flee, and they found Hartford, Connecticut in 1636. And his church members come to him, and they say, Pastor Thomas Hooker, how do we do the government thing?
Right.
He gives a sermon, 1638. The foundation of authority is laid in the free consent of the people. Again, the people are... That's why Connecticut's called the Constitution State. They take his sermon and they write it down. It becomes their constitution.
Wow.
So how can you have separation of church and state when it's the pastors and his sermons that are creating the state, the government, right?
Yeah, and at the very core and foundation of the strength of the Constitution.
Yes, and so the Constitution starts off how we the people, we're granting ourselves permission to do this thing. And so this became the blueprint for the rest of the colonies, the idea that the people could choose their own leaders. And so it's worked. You know, there's two things. There's the seed and the soil.
Okay, we've got about a minute and a half left, Bill, so let me get it.
So the seed is this beautiful, democratically elected constitutional republic. But where do you plant it? You plant it in a soil. Mm-hmm. And so the soil is the people. 98% of Americans at the time of the founding were Protestant, a little less than 2% Catholic. Catholics were only allowed in three colonies, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New York, and a tenth of a percent Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we plant this seed of self-government into a Judeo-Christian soil, produces the most freest country that the planet has seen. We take the same seed and plant it in former Muslim countries, right? And it's taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood. We scratch our heads, what's wrong with the seed? Nothing, you just planted it in the soil. That's Islamic.
That soil, right.
You know, you plant it in a former Soviet state where they've had 70 years of atheism plowed into it, and it doesn't work. So we have to realize that our form of government is designed for basically a Judeo-Christian populace. It's underneath of a Judeo-Christian God. A fascinating study, but it's all in the book, Who is the King in America and Who are the Counselors to the King? That's the other part. 70% of Americans identify themselves as Christian,
mm-hmm.
which means they're going to church every night. Now and then, which puts the pastors in America in the position of counseling the king.
Mm-hmm.
One set of pastors tells them to stay asleep, like that worm tongue on that Lord of the Rings, you know,
right, exactly.
Theodon cast a spell on them. And then another set of pastors throw a bucket of ice water on their congregation and says, wake up, you don't just have the right to vote in America, you're the king. You're going to be held accountable to God for what happens in America.
Are the pastors getting that message, though, Bill?
They are.
Are they?
It's an awakening period.
Yes, right.
But this is the situation. We need to wake up and let the people realize that, hey, you're in charge of, you hire a plumber, you hire a cook, and you hire a politician. They are to carry out your will. You better get on it.
Without a doubt.
who is the king in America and who are the counselors to the king? William Fetter has been with us. Great book. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's always an honor.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America, as we come to you on this network of over 280 affiliates across this great country of ours. Around the world via shortwave as well. We're here coming to you live from Orlando. That's why you're hearing a little ambient, wonderful noise. It's a beautiful sound, isn't it, John Morgan?
Yes, it is. It's the sound of networking.
Yeah, it is. And there's plenty of that going around here at Proclaim 17. It's NRB's international media convention. So, and as you heard John Morgan, you heard a voice that sounds very similar, and you go, boy, that sounds real familiar. Didn't I hear his voice last night talking to Sean Hannity? Of course, John has been known for impersonating George W. Bush. And, you know, he had some great things to say last night on Hannity.
Well, I tell you, I told a friend that I have admired him for many, many years. You know, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. Uh-huh. But last night, that admiration just soared into a whole new level.
Well, you know, when you think about his presidency, that when he came in, he had no idea he was going to be a wartime president. He was going to deal with domestic issues. That's
right.
What he and Laura, you know, I think had thought about clearly on doing. And then we get 9/11, and he becomes a wartime president.
Right. He wanted to be the education president.
Right. Exactly. And then you have him now being a wartime president.
president, but he really brought the country together in such an incredible way, you know, after 9/11.
What's so beautiful about George W. Bush, in my mind, is that every time I hear him speak, like, for example, at the memorial for the officers that were gunned down in Dallas mm-hmm. last year,
right.
his speech was so unifying. Mm-hmm. He's a peacemaker. It's right. really strange for a wartime president to be such a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he is. He's a unifier and a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
And what he's done with the military, with the vets, what he does annually on that bike ride that he does there
oh, yes.
in Texas, that is really special. But his legacy continues. And I was glad that even Barack Obama had to give him his due in terms of the transition and how gracious the team was. In transitioning to his administration.
I've had the privilege of hearing hundreds, I don't know exactly how many is, I don't want to be an exaggerator, but many, many stories people want to tell me of their personal encounters with George W. Bush, and gracious is the word that comes up the most. I mean, they say that he's gregarious, funny, mm-hmm. friendly, and he looks you dead in the eye, and he asks questions about you. He wants to know who you are. He's never like, you know, look at me, I did this and this and this.
Right. I think some people misunderstand his mannerisms, if I might say, John, and they think he's goofy, but the guy's really a smart guy.
Oh, yes.
He reads all the time. In fact, when I've spoken to a couple of people who were in his administration, said that George Bush would often ask him one of the first questions, what book are you reading right now?
Right. He's a goofball. You know, because he's a funny guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's deadly serious about the things that matter.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I heard him say last night that he read the Bible every single day,
mm-hmm.
and when he was in office, read the Bible every day. His two devotionals that he mentioned were My Utmost for His Highest,
yeah.
Oswald Chambers, and Jesus Calling.
Yeah, wow, very good. Well, let's talk about your book, War on Fear. Imagine what it would be. If you didn't have fear, how would your life be transposed as a result of no fear?
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever had one of those moments when you're in the grocery store line and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit nudges you to share with that person in the line about His love?
Mm-hmm.
Most people just let that pass in one ear and out the other, and they never obey. We get nudges from God. We have dreams in our heart. We get ambitions, things that we'd like to accomplish, and fear comes right along
mm-hmm.
and shuts us down.
Right.
And we allow it, for the most part, as the church. It's very sad. People like you have managed to overcome it in order to launch your show, and others have dared to do great things and done wonderful things. Fear owned me for most of my life. I was a prisoner of fear.
Wow.
And so I got mad and declared war on fear. And mm-hmm. it's been such a joy damaging the works of darkness in order to bring forth obedience to Christ. And that's what the book is about.
Don't you find it quite revealing and rewarding when you're on God's side and you realize that it's not all about you, that you don't have all the goods, that God in His infinite plan pulls us together. We're all a bunch of puzzle pieces.
Mm.
And this is where, when the word aptly spoken comes in
mm-hmm.
into play, as Proverbs talks about. And I say it's not only a word, because what I love about Hebrew is that, we limit what the interpretation is. You know, the Jews, one word like peace means, it is so dimensional. So multidimensional. And it's kind of like a word aptly spoken, what God has taken me through to understand. It's not just a word. It could be a gesture. Could be a hug. Could be a smile. It's that which another fellow human in this journey we call life goes together, and we're encouraged, and we touch that person. And sometimes we don't even know the deposit that we made. Right, John?
That's absolutely correct. I had a chance to interview a couple that came up to me to get a picture of George, of me looking like George Bush. And incidentally, if your audience wants to get a gander, they can just go on your website.
That's right. Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. We got you doing the ode to Trump, on the ukulele. Absolutely.
Yeah. And as this couple approached me,
we're going to get you on the Ellen Show. That's what we're working toward.
Yes,
you got your dance down.
And Fallon. Yeah.
Fallon too. We got the dance and everything.
The Oopaloopa dance.
Oh, yeah. The Oopaloopa. Okay.
So when this couple was approaching me, the word eternity flashed in my mind. So I could have just ignored it, But I brought it up to them, and I shared my testimony with that couple, ending with, and I got saved on March 5th, 1975. And when I said that, the girl lit up, and she goes, "That's the day I was born." And so that became the day she was born again.
You're born again. How good is that, huh? Wow. And this, you know, we're just talking about these things, you know, in terms of everyday conversation. But there are things outside of ourselves. Sometimes we think the most important thing we do is write a book. And you know, yes, that contributes. And there's words in there that are meaningful and blessed. But there's more to it. And I don't know about you, John, but what God's been bringing me to here recently is what Jesus said when he said, hey, you know, he came to serve and not to be served, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so when we're caught up in being served, and this is part of the problem that we have right now in our country, is that it's more about me and mine and what am I getting out of this, what's in it for me, as opposed to what are we doing for others?
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter if anybody's looking either. Mm-hmm. It can be a person sitting on a park bench. You know, heaven smiles when we give, when we share, when we live in order to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the things that emulate Christ, because that's what he did.
Yes.
You know, when we live like he lived and love like he loved, you can't do that thinking about yourself.
That's right.
You have to be doing that thinking about God and others. You know, the greatest two commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your brother as you love yourself.
Exactly. John, what do you want people to take away from the book, War and Fear?
Well, I'm excited about the book because I do believe it has the potential of igniting a fire. I'm hoping that folks will get mad like I did at the enemy who is duping them into disobeying the one who loves them the most.
Right.
And in so doing, prohibiting the advancement of the kingdom.
Right.
When people get rid of fear, imagine what will happen in this world. Imagine what will happen in our culture.
Exactly.
It's gonna shine with the glory of Christ.
Well, the thing is when you think about it anyway, people are frustrated because they know that they know they're not doing what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's that thing that wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning and you go, you know, and you may not be able to put your finger on it, but unless you continue to pursue it and you continue to knock, then you're not going to find out and you're going to continue to be frustrated, right?
Absolutely.
So it is the call is to do something counterintuitive, and especially when you have a culture that is so self-oriented right now, and if you're relying on the culture and movies and other celebrities and that sort of thing, you can miss the point.
And yet God is calling each of us to look like him, to act like him. You know, in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." Other versions say, "abundantly."
Right,
you know,
right.
And just take a second, listening audience, and imagine what if God says, "I've come to give you a life that's God-sized." What
exactly.
does that look like? And it's not a fantasy. Those aren't just words. It's
right.
what he really wants
exactly.
to do.
John Morgan, I'm Bill Martinez live. John, thank you so much for the book. Go to the website. You can see John sing the Ode to Trump.
The day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-beaties. Don't do this. Don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like Accucheck and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Ringing in the new year means making New Year's resolutions. While some aim to hit the gym more often or establish healthy eating habits, others resolve to make better financial decisions, especially after a season of holiday spending. Bank of America is encouraging greater financial control in the new year with its recently launched spending and budgeting tool, allowing consumers to easily see where their money is going and track their personal goals. The spending and budgeting tool provides mobile and online banking customers with spending history and trends, personalized budget recommendations, and financial education insights and tips. Michelle Moore, Head of Digital Banking, Bank of America.
Empowering our customers to live smarter and simplified financial lives is at the core of everything we do. The new spending and budgeting tool provides our nearly 34 million digital banking customers with a personalized experience to help them start the new year with greater financial control and convenience.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Taking turmeric is good, but there's a problem with it. The active ingredient in turmeric, known as curcumin, is poorly absorbed into the cells due to its large particle size. But now, One Planet Nutrition has the answer for this powerful anti-inflammatory. Nanocurcumin, a nanoparticle curcumin which absorbs over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Discover more health benefits of nanocurcumin and nanocurcumin plus, now on sale at oneplanetnutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at oneplanetnutrition.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, the truth is so important. Not only will it set you free, and boy, that is a whole sermon in and of itself about the truth setting you free, but it is our passion and our commitment to you that we will pursue the truth no matter where it leads, because it's just that important. You think about the mess that this country is in right now and the messes that we see all over our culture, and a lot of it has to do is because we've bought into a big lie. Pat Williams is with us. And it's good to have Pat. It seems like this is becoming an annual event. We meet here at NRB. This one happens to be in Orlando. Last time we were in Tennessee. But it's good to see you again, Pat.
Thank you, Bill. Real nice to see you as well. And I'm looking forward to our chat.
Well, Pat, of course, is a Basketball Hall of Famer. Isn't that cool to be able to say you're a Basketball Hall of Famer?
Well, that was quite a thrill a few years ago to... received the John Bunn Lifetime Achievement Award. I've been around the NBA now for close to 50 years, Bill, and they were very, very kind to give me that award. So, yes, I will agree with you. It's pretty cool to have that H-O-F, they call it. You know,
yes, exactly. Yeah, because you sign your name, and it's like even with the baseball players and Raleigh Fingers, I had met with him last year. We had a chance to visit, and H-O-F, it's all the baseball, everybody. Yeah. So,
pretty cool. H-O-F now, and then the year.
Yes, exactly.
So they put that on their signature.
Yeah. Well, all good fun. That and what a neat honor, and you're deserving of it, Pat, for all that you've done for the NBA. Pat, of course, senior vice president of the NBA's Orlando Magic, as you know, is one of America's top motivational speakers. He's addressed thousands of executives and organizations, ranging from Fortune 500 companies, national associations, to universities and nonprofits. They'll still let you on universities, huh?
Yeah.
Probably one of the few speakers that can go and talk on universities.
I don't come preaching politics at that point, Bill. I to talk about leadership primarily, the seven qualities it takes to be an exceptional leader. I love to challenge young people, high school, college age, to really be ready to step up and lead when the opportunity presents itself. Because, let's face it, the future of our nation hinges on this next generation doing a better job of leadership than we've done. I think that's the best way to put it.
Well, and as you say, it's a timing issue, and there's an opportunity. And what I see, Pat, and I don't know, not to delve into anything political, because everything runs in seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have an opportunity, and you might say, well, politics has something to do with it. I think sometimes it's, as I tell my kids, experience defines preference. And we've had a lot of experience here in this country that it's been uncomfortable, and I think the people are ready to bust through. I mean, you can't continue to stifle, whether it's leadership or productivity, to the level that we've had over the last 8 years. And I think we've got this pent-up potential of productivity that's getting ready to burst out. Now, are you going to be one of the leaders to be in front of the parade? You know, therein lies some opportunity, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, no question, and I'm very pleased with the cabinet that Mr. Trump has picked. You know, some godly people.
Right.
Mike Pence, Ben Carson, our friend Betsy DeVos.
Yes.
The Magic Ball Club is owned by the DeVos family.
Yes.
And Betsy and Dick DeVos are 20% owners of the franchise.
Right.
So we've been following her opportunity here, and she's handled things very, very well. So Trump is surrounding himself with some really strong, godly believers. So I'm very encouraged in that regard.
And I think, speaking of encouragement, I think the thing that's encouraging about Betsy DeVos, even though initially, because she wasn't a known figure, her family was, but even still, I think a lot of TV people had a hard time pronouncing her name and understanding what, every time I heard it in the wrong way, would drive me nuts. I'm going, well, you don't know who this is, you know?
Yeah, the DeVos family, and they have not sought publicity, but Rich DeVos, the co-founder of the Amway organization, he's 90 years old, by the way, Bill.
He's 90
now, he's 90
wow.
And still hanging in there. You know, he sharpens a tack.
I saw him, he spoke to a bunch of us at the Crystal Cathedral. This must have been 20, 25 years
ago. Yes,
and one of my favorite lines from that, I'll tell you, Pat, he talked about how he was faithful to return every phone call. He goes, I want you to know, if somebody calls me, I will return the phone call.
Yes.
He says, but sometimes it takes me a little bit of time. He says, in one particular case, it took him 2 weeks to get to this one phone call, and the guy was a little miffed. Said, hey, you know, I called you 2 weeks ago. He said, well, I didn't ask you to call me in the first place.
Well, he's got a sense of humor, but he's a godly man. I've been with Rich numbers of occasions where he will be receive this flowery introduction, and then he will stand up and said, I'm just Rich, a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
So he's been very good to us. He's been very good to me personally. And Billy's been so encouraging to me about the books that I'm writing.
Yes.
You know, he's encouraged me and really cheered me on. So. And the latest book is out.
Yes, I was going to talk about the success.
It's called The Success Intersection.
I like this.
I think it's got practical application. In a nutshell, Bill, here's the bottom line. When your greatest talent intersects with your strongest passion, you have discovered the sweet spot in your life.
Yes.
And that's where you want to live. That's where you want to get educated. That's where you want to get paid every 2 weeks, right there in that sweet spot.
Exactly.
We could call it God's will. I think that's a good term, but I call it our sweet spot. And the sooner we can recognize our greatest talent and then find out what we're excited about and what gets us up in the morning and what gets us enthused and energetic, you know, that's where we want to spend our time.
And you want to be in the right place that promotes that opportunity and that, you know, your understanding of who you are and what you bring to the table, and that you're on the right team. I mean, speaking of basketball, you know, it's not about any one person. It's everybody playing their role. We always get problems when the point guard wants to be the center, right?
Well, it's true, Bill. And I think there's a great burden on parents and grandparents and coaches and teachers and youth workers with the young people that were under our supervision to really be spotting what are their talents, what are they good at, what do they seem excited about as youngsters.
Right.
And then we need to encourage them with words like this. Fred, I'll tell you this. Every time I look around, the other kids are following you. Out on the playground and in the classroom, I really see potential for you as a great leader.
Right.
No, so you say that to a fifth grader, he'll remember it. Or how about this one, Bill? Mary, I am so impressed with the way you write. You know, the work you turn in, your word choice and your spelling and your creativity in writing, I see a great future for you as a writer.
Exactly.
Bill, people never forget those words of encouragement. And so we need to really be focusing hard on that and spotting talent in young people. And then the passion, I think, comes along when they begin to have success. And to begin enjoying what they're doing, they'll get excited about it.
Yeah, I've often said, Pat, when I was training salespeople in the radio business, is that one of the core values, along with two that you've already shared, was that the giftings and talents that God has blessed you with have to be exercised and grown. When I have looked into the landscape of the labor force, I see a lot of frustration because we find round pegs and square holes. I understand sometimes people have to get a job, they got to support their family, so they'll compromise a little bit, and that's okay for a season. But for long term, you need to find that right fit along that sweet spot, not only matching up your talents, your giftings, and the place where it can be exhibited.
Yeah, that's well phrased, Bill. Well phrased. And here's one other point I think I really want to make, and that is every great person or talented person I've ever studied, Bill, yeah, they have talent, but they outwork everybody.
Yes.
They're not content with just a level of talent. The great ones put in more work and more practice and more effort. Whether it's swinging a bat like Ted Williams, or whether it's shooting a basketball like Michael Jordan, or whether it's playing a violin like Yo-Yo Ma, or whether it's being a great pianist. I mean, they absolutely outwork everybody.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you ask them about it, they don't look at it as work, Pat.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's where the passion comes in.
Exactly. It's just a natural, easy flow. So the takeaway, the success intersection, what happens when your talent meets your passion, I mean, that's dynamite. That's explosive.
Well, I've been working on this book, Bill, for many years. We finally got it finished, and it's just come out in the last few weeks. And I think that people can read it and get some benefit no matter what the age.
Yes.
And there's one other little footnote here, Bill, and that is other talents may come out later. For example, as it turns out, I had talent, aptitude for running a ball club in baseball and basketball, and I was passionate about it. But somewhere along the line, I wrote a book. And I turned out I had some success with that book. I now have written 104 of them.
Oh, wow.
You know, so who would have ever guessed, including my high school English teacher, who's got to be the most shocked person in the graveyard right now. But as it turns out, that was another area that I seem to have some ability in. And so my point is, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until her 70s.
Right, right.
And Colonel Sanders didn't get rolling with his Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, there are always doors that can open, you know, even deep into our life.
Exactly.
And, so I encourage people to stay in good shape, and your best years should be in your 70s and 80s. I really believe that.
Well, imagine
your health is good.
All the experience that you've had,
yes,
the nuggets that you can share with people are just most incredible. Pat Williams has been with us. His brand-new book, The Success Intersection, What Happens When Your Talent Meets Your Passion, available at all the usual places.
Yes,
right?
Bill, it's in bookstores at Amazon.com, a wonderful way to order books, including all the different authors that you've been speaking to. Go up to Amazon. It's quite an adventure to check out all the latest. But my books are all listed, including this latest one, The Success Intersection.
Well, congratulations, Pat. Always good to be visiting with you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm so glad to see you.
Lord bless you.
Hi, my name's John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watch several YouTube videos of Stephen Ewers and learn what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, 600 products of Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Piedmont.